From the first epistle of Peter. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most of us are experiencing cabin fever. In the midst of this pandemic, we may be feeling a combination of fear, isolation, loneliness, anger, helplessness, and utter despair. Our minds can only take in so many pages of a book, episodes of a television show, online classes, music, and newspapers. We know that our present condition is not natural, and by no means can we accept this as the new normal. It is an aberration. And unfortunately, we know that this situation is way beyond our control. As a Christian pastor, I recognize that in the midst of this, resurrection may seem to read more like a sci-fi novel than phenomenon rooted in reality. Yet there are reasons why we as Christians give our hearts and minds to the experience of resurrection as our ultimate destiny. Today, I'd like to shape our thoughts around the following notion: experience shapes reality. For 3 years, people like Peter and Cleopas gave up their normal to follow Jesus. They experienced Jesus as a great teacher, a healer, a prophet, and they understood that whenever Jesus faced opposition, it was because Jesus possessed many qualities that would threaten earthly power. Early on in Scripture, we get a glimpse into Peter's personality. Peter was a great fisherman from Galilee, and we know early on in the gospel accounts that he is characterized as someone who is rash, someone who in contemporary language is a brute. He was someone who wore his passion on his sleeve. He's a person who's guided by his emotions and not necessarily a deeply reflective thinker. Yes, during Jesus' earthly ministry, Peter, on more than one occasion, paid lip service to the notion that Jesus was the Messiah. Yet when confronted by a servant girl in the midst of Jesus' trial, this very Peter, formerly known as the Rock, totally crumbles. He denies knowing Jesus. He stays as far away as he can from that name. Yet after three days, this very Peter experiences new birth. In his experience of the resurrected Jesus, Peter himself becomes born anew. He begins to see the world with new eyes, seeing the world as Jesus sees it, a world that needs to experience the love of God, the love that God alone can give. What makes Peter's testimony in our first two lessons quite remarkable is the fact that he is talking about life anew, centered on his experience of the empty tomb. The empty tomb gives him a profound maturity where he moves from brash reactivity to boldly and maturely confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. Remember, experience shapes reality. The resurrection experience shapes how Peter now sees the world. His life becomes committed to the renewal of the world based not on kingly or political power and might, but rooted in the compassion and love of Jesus that is made real through God's work of reconciliation accomplished on the cross and through the empty tomb. In our gospel portion for today, we really don't know the specifics of why Cleopas and another disciple flee from Jerusalem. One can deduce that they were fleeing because of fear. Moving away from that city, they approached the city of Emmaus near sunset. And as the sun is setting, they're blinded from recognizing another person who accompanies them on their journey. When they notice him, they begin to have a conversation about the events of the past few days. In their engagement, they are astounded by the ignorance of this new sojourner. Cleopas and the unnamed disciple begin to recount the events of the past 2 days about the mighty prophet condemned to death by the Romans and the elite in Jerusalem. In that same breath, they begin to tell their fellow traveler the story of a tomb that was seen empty and the testimony of women who saw angels that revealed that Jesus is indeed alive. In an ironic twist, their fellow traveler calls them out. He calls them out on their ignorance, and he reminds them of the promises of the scriptures of old, beginning with Moses and ending in the prophecies where the Messiah would have to suffer and would be resurrected. Following this discourse, the three of them come to a house to a table that is set for dinner. During the breaking of the bread, Cleopas and the unknown disciple see something. Their minds and their souls meet because they now see Jesus, who is made real and present before their very eyes. In theological terms, this is the first anamnesis, or suspension of chronological time, because now time is suspended and their hearts and minds, though in the present, simultaneously recall the instance that Jesus broke bread with and for them. This experience of suspended time is the breaking open of their lived reality to a new possibility, a new reality where the experience of resurrection leads them to a new vision for their lives. And so, with great haste, they travel back to Jerusalem to share the good news that the Lord has now appeared to them. Like Peter, experience shapes their reality. The resurrection shapes how they now see the world. Their lives become committed to the renewal of the world based not on kingly power, authority, and might, but rooted in compassion and love that is made real and present through God's work of reconciliation accomplished on the cross and through the empty tomb. Their sorrow has dawned, and now they have traveled eastward toward Jerusalem to share their profound joy. Despair has dissipated, and a purpose-driven mission now guides them. Beloved, we as a community have given our hearts to the ultimate destiny of the world, a world born anew, where God's presence is made real and whole, where the waters of eternal life flow. Giving our hearts to this opens our eyes to a deeper reality than the current crisis we are in. This new reality is shaped by the power of the resurrection, which leads to the renewal of the world. St. Anne's My beloved at St. Anne's, we join with saints who for over 328 years have stood in Annapolis to bear witness to the experience of resurrection. Our fundamental worldview is shaped by the experience of resurrection, and we know that this storm shall pass because we are assured that on our journey, in the midst of this storm, we can rest in Jesus. If you were worshiping in our beautiful building today, I would normally invite you to the table where Jesus is made real and present. Our corporate lives are made whole by the Blessed Sacrament, where Jesus is made real and present. Although I lament the fact that we are unable to gather to feast on the true bread and true blood given for the redemption of our world, I offer that your ministry today is to take care of yourself, to stay healthy, and stay connected. So in the midst of this crisis, what can sustain us? I believe it is the hope of the resurrection. I believe it is the notion of Eucharist, Christ made whole, Christ broken for the good of the world. As Eucharist is a communal meal, I am not bent on celebrating Eucharist without all of you present. At the same time, I would like to affirm the notion of spiritual communion, the experience of receiving Jesus fully when we have the intention to do so. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian, defines spiritual communion as the ardent desire to receive Jesus in the most holy sacrament and a loving embrace as if we had actually received him. Within our tradition, spiritual communion has been described as the means of grace by which a person prevented for one reason or another from sharing in the celebration of Eucharist, nevertheless, shares in the communion of Jesus Christ. So on this day, where we have been asked to live in a season of staying in place, where our embodied gathering as the church is severely restricted, let me posit that we can spiritually commune with the Lord of life. If we believe that our experiences shape reality, and that as Christians, the resurrection experience shapes our reality, I invite you to receive communion spiritually, for that is the sustenance that fuels our hope for the renewal of our world. Allow me to share with you a prayer adapted from St. Augustine's prayer book. It prays like this. Lord Jesus, during this season, we pray remembering those who in every generation gathered at your altar where your blessed body and blood have been offered. We long to offer you praise and thanksgiving for the creation and the blessings of this life, for the redemption won for us by your life, death, and resurrection, for the means of grace and the hope of glory. We believe that you are truly present in the Holy Sacrament, and since we cannot at this time receive communion, we pray you to come into our hearts. We unite ourselves with you and embrace you with all our hearts, souls, and minds. Let nothing separate us from you. Let us serve you in this life until by your grace we come to your glorious kingdom and unending peace. Amen. Beloved, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay connected.